How are you doing this morning, Alan?
Yeah, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks a lot for coming on. You ready for the playoffs, finally, after 4.5 months?
Yeah, it's the first time it's ever going to matter where you're a good hockey player in August, because we've seen tons of those guys over the years, and right now it's going to really matter to be a good player in August. But I am so, like everyone else that loves this game, happy to be back, and I can't wait for the first puck drop tomorrow.
Do you realistically, Albie, have any idea what to expect from the teams? I mean, we could look at the talent and the depth chart, but after being off for so long physically and mentally, are you just kind of wait and see mode?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is I think if you're looking for bad, you're going to find plenty of it. If you're looking for good, you're going to find it. And it just goes with anything in life. But so I'm going to be looking for the good and what's going on, because I do understand that the timing will be off a little bit. But you know what? The preseason games that we've seen, they haven't had preseason games this good since the early 2000s or late 90s, when the guys used to drop the gloves left and right. And you had to play good in preseason. And in the past decade or so, that those preseason games in September are embarrassing, and it should be illegal to charge $1 to watch that crud. And I've liked what I've seen in 10 of the 12 games. I've actually liked what I've seen. And it's been decent hockey. The players are in shape. They're excited and motivated to play, despite what everyone was saying about, you know, the players' attitudes towards coming back. They look like they want to be there, and I think they're going to have the times of their lives, especially the teams that go to, you know, 3 and 4 or 5 rounds. What, you know, some teams are going to play in 5 playoff rounds, yeah, possibly. So it's going to be, to me, it's going to be exciting, and I think the players are going to enjoy themselves.
How do you think the goaltenders are going to fare, especially early on?
Well, I don't think goal scoring, and I could be proven wrong on the very first day, but, you know, when your timing's off and your team is doing, you know, having to play in something like this, you're going to depend on your defensive. It's easier to be in your position than it is to handle the puck and make, you know, high precision passing plays, like high speed precision passing plays. So I think the goaltenders will be all right, just due to the fact that the teams, there'll be more of a buy-in defensively on what not to do, you know, with the puck. And then, you know, it's all about positioning. How the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup a year and a bit ago, it was about how they played without the puck, couldn't get to their net. So I think the teams that have that defense-first philosophy will really help out their goaltenders. And the teams that want to run and gun, you know, there'll be a few teams that expose their goaltenders, like the Florida Panthers did the other day. And I would not want to be a goaltender in a team that's not caring or worrying about the defensive side of play.
As we get to round one, advantage to the big boys of the top four that have hung around and played exhibition games, Albie, or advantage to the teams that have been playing real games?
Well, I wish I could rely on experience for this, but I would think that the advantage will be in the end of this, at the end, when it's all said and done. I can't see a team that's had to play a hard, gritty, you know, 4 or 5-game series right off the bat here and then play another 4 rounds have any gas left in the tank, because it will get more and more intense as we go. So I think in the short term, the advantage goes to these teams 5-12, and the guys doing the round robin, depending on their philosophy. You know, I saw the Washington Capitals give a very good effort the other day. The Tampa Bay Lightning give very good effort. Of the top 4 teams, I didn't see so much out of the Dallas Stars. Las Vegas Golden Knights looked absolutely spectacular. So you look at that, it's such a coin toss with what can happen. But I think in the immediate, you know, the first 2 rounds, I would say it's the teams that play 5-12 will have the advantage. But as it goes on, it's going to be those teams that escape from the round robin and continue to play.
With Alan May, the Capitals analyst and former NHLer, the Caps themselves, how do you think they'll play that three-game round robin? Are they really going to want to? I guess it's a big thing, avoiding the fourth spot, so you avoid a potential matchup with Pittsburgh in the first round.
Well, the biggest thing with the Caps, I think, is really how they play this is going to be, you know, how their captain is. And Ovechkin has proven so many people wrong, and he has changed his ways somewhat. You know, he's more concerned now with, you know, adding rings to his finger. He's got one, he wants more. But what we saw out of him during this lockdown, lockout, whatever you want to call it, refer to it as, he was working out like a fiend. And the first day he hopped on the ice down in Florida, he looked excellent. Here, the very first day, he was wowing everyone. He's older than he's ever been, and he just continues. He looks like he improves every year. And I would think by the leadership that he's showing, he's got Kuznetsov in shape, Tom Wilson is in shape. So I would think that the leadership of, say, Ovechkin, Backstrom, of Wilson, John Carlson, to get these guys ready. I would expect them to put their best foot forward in these games and to come out. And, you know, they've always played well against Tampa. You know, Boston has kind of figured out how to play them a little bit more, but, you know, Boston relies a little too much on the fancy stuff right now, the speed game. And I could see that. But the team I'm really worried about for the Caps at the start of this and is the Philadelphia Flyers. I think they're very well coached. I love their roster. They make great additions at the deadline a half a year ago, whatever that was. And I think Philly, a team that they've given it to the Caps this year, so the Caps are going to have to figure out how to play them. But I still like them. I like what they'll be doing in the round robin. I'd be surprised if they don't go 2-1 at least. And I just think that they've got excellent goaltending. You got to figure out the defense pairs. And the forward lines are very complete. I like what they're doing up there.
Any worry about the loss of Samsonov and the fact you have to go with Holpe? I know he would have been the starter anyway, Albie, but at least a healthy competition.
Well, you probably track the goaltenders more than I do, but I honestly feel that if you're going to win, it's got to be one of your goaltenders has to have 16 wins throughout the playoffs. So Samsonov started to falter later in the season. You know, you don't give the keys to the car, you know, to the young goalie right off the bat, because we've seen so many times in the history of the game, they just fall apart. And I'm not worried about that part of it. Vitek Vanacek's been an all-star in the American Hockey League the last couple of years. The Caps have done a great job of grooming goaltenders. Phoenix Copley is still a good goaltender. He was dominating in the American Hockey League this year as well. But it all comes down to, you know, and, you know, you're thinking long-term, or, you know, for as far as the playoffs are concerned, you know, hope he doesn't get hurt for the most part. And, you know, I don't want to put a jinx on him, but he doesn't get hurt. He's healthy all the time. And these playoffs will be different, but I'm not concerned about a backup goaltender situation at all.
With Alan May, the Caps analyst. So taking you back to your minor hockey days, Alan, when you were at a tournament and the game before you went multiple overtimes and you were sitting in your equipment at the glass waiting for it to end, we potentially could see that in at least the first couple of rounds of these playoffs. How do you think that will play itself out for guys who are so hardwired to kind of following, you know, this is when I have my pregame meal, this is when we do the warm-up, this is when the puck drop is going to be. That could be totally skewed if a game before goes multiple overtimes. How are they going to handle that?
Oh, they're just going to have to handle it like everything else. It's just everything's a work in progress here, and it'll be pretty interesting. And I hope that does happen right away. I hope there's a 3 or 4 overtime game that pushes everything back. And the conference call that I was on the other day said that you have to wait in the same arena. You have to wait on the changeovers 87 and a half minutes before the next puck drop to get the arena ready, because they've got to replace the dashboards of whoever the home team is going to be, disinfect and clean the arena, do whatever they have to with their protocol there. But you're just going to have to deal with it. And I think guys will be loose. And, you know, just this is where professionalism will matter. And, you know, I'm sure that every single hockey player has gone through it where you've been late an hour or two to play a game. I know in junior hockey and even in the minor leagues, you know, being stuck on a bus on an interstate or a highway, and, you know, you show up a game that's supposed to start at 7, you show up at 9:30, they give you a 10-minute warm-up, you go in the dressing room, they examine the ice, and you go out and play, and, you know, you've got to do everything possible to try to win those games. So, you know, both teams will be in the same boat here. Everyone really is a visiting team in this process, so there's no advantage to either team as to, you know, the delay. But I just hope we see it. I think it'll be awesome.
Again, a bit of a negative. I think the hockey will be great, but I look at the Toronto ice traditionally has not been great. I know there's no fans in, but any worry for some of the athletes on that third game at 8 p.m. that for some of the lower body and just what not, might not be prime ice for guys that haven't played in a while, that we might lead to some lower body injuries?
Well, you know, I really think with what they're able to do with the arenas right now, so none of the doors will be open in the arenas, and they'll be able to keep the air temperature in there much lower than you normally would. You should be able to control the humidity from not having the big gates in the back of the building constantly opening up. And I know in Toronto that when you go in there where the buses go, it's not like some of the old building, like Washington, that lets all the air out of the building. At Tampa, lets all the air out of the building. So it would be tough in areas like those. But I think Toronto should be able to do a great job. Edmonton, I'm not sure if you've been to that new arena yet. I have zero doubts about the ice late in the day. And they have time to let it sit and let it settle and control the temperature. So there may be some problem on some hot days. I don't track Toronto weather, but I think they should be all right. I'm confident that in the West and Edmonton, you know, they can control the environment so much better. They do have dry air out there. The temperatures don't get as bad as the East Coast. So I'm not really worried about that. It's just, once again, you know, if you're looking for good, you're going to find it. If you're looking for problems, you're going to find them too.
Yeah. Are you 100% confident this whole thing is going to work from an NHL perspective?
I am confident for the first three rounds, the play-in and the rounds after that. When they switch environments from Toronto to Edmonton, I'm worried about some of the, you know, traveling across country, the exposures that they could possibly have. But I would say I put a lot of money in that this thing is going to end. They're doing a great job of keeping everyone in the bubbles. It looks so damn fun. I wish I was part of it. I can only imagine how much laughter the guys are having right now. I know I'd be in heaven if I was in there right now. The practical jokes that we're going to hear that are coming out of this, you know, not just team, guys within a team. I could see guys sabotaging their buddies on other teams as well. So, you know, you take a look at that. But I do think we're going to get through this entire thing. The NHL should be commended on everything they've done. It's been absolutely wonderful. They built, basically created two Olympic villages. The amount of testing, the testing process, I believe there are something like 7,000 Zoom calls out of the league office to get prepared for this. So, you know, it's amazing what they thought of, and I think they're putting the other leagues to shame, and I'm really proud of what the players have been done, the attitude that they're doing right now to make sure they're doing everything properly and correctly to make sure that this thing pulls off, because there are a lot of jobs at stake, not just the players. You know, everyone, you know, they knife the players, all these high-priced athletes. Well, there's so many people around the teams, around the buildings, even the you know, the food and beverage industry, all of those people that are earning money right now because of this. And, you know, the NHL is spending the money. It's not coming out of the player's share. It's coming out of the league's share. It's going to be about $70 million by the time it's all said and done, and the league's footing the bill for it. I think they've done a great job. And how they've been spending their money, they will pull it off.
Looking back to the East, and you know it certainly very well, a couple of years ago the Caps rolled right through Tampa Bay physically. When you watch Tampa this year with the additions they made of Maroon, then the additions of the deadline, Albie, do you like the mix, and do you feel like they're the team to beat in the East, or is it very close with Boston, Washington, and a couple of, well, you're bullish on Philly as well?
Yeah, well, to me, I would be more scared of Philadelphia than Tampa Bay. And with Tampa, when I look at them, they want to play a harder game, but it's not who they are. And they tried that with the Caps a year ago, and the Caps exposed them, and then Columbus, you know, annihilated them in the playoffs by just getting in their face, and that's not really who they are. You know, all of a sudden they wanted a tap dance, and you know, they weren't up to task for it last year. So I'm not really bullish on them. I do love Braden Point Kucherov, but I saw the Caps make Braden Point a perimeter player 2 years ago in the playoffs, Kucherov a perimeter player. And if you play those guys hard and physical, I don't think they can compete. I do like the addition of Blake Coleman on that team, not so much with Pat Maroon, because I don't think he fits their style whatsoever. But I just think that they've got some question marks. You've got Stamkos and Hedman banged up, and you can bet the teams will put more into the hits and the physical play going after those guys. And for a bigger player like Hedman, I think it's harder to get your legs under you. So if teams know that he's been banged up, hasn't been able to skate, he will be a target.
Who do you like in the West?
Well, to me, St. Louis Blues, because I look at the size of them. I know they didn't look very good the other night, but defense is the easiest thing to do in hockey. And they've had a commitment last year to go far in the playoffs. You couldn't get to the middle of the ice. And I know a year ago in January, the Capitals were in their top of the league, and St. Louis made the Caps look like they were peewee hockey players. Am I still allowed to say that, peewee hockey players? But they kept them to the perimeter. They could not get to that. 2 weeks later, they came back in and dominated the Caps, who were a big team. And I really like what St. Louis can do defensively. They believe in their goaltender. They've got a lot of snipe up top. It's great that they have Tarasenko back. But I think St. Louis is going to be dominant again, because they rely on just pushing in off the puck, and the timing is not going to be there. The high-speed precision passing plays I mentioned earlier, I don't think they'll be there. It's sticks in lanes, finishing bodies. And to me, the teams that have the most compete physically and defensively go the furthest in this playoffs.
From what you've seen of Carter Hart, I know he's got the talent, but do you feel like there's enough experience to handle the pressure in Philadelphia?
Well, we'll see, because remember how hot he was for a while last year, and then he dropped off. He struggled at times. So I still think he's somewhat young for this, and the pressure – Maybe not having any fans in the building alleviates some of the pressure for him. But he is an absolute phenomenal goaltender. But once again, it's what's above the shoulders with the young goaltenders. You know, they've got to learn to calm down, find a way to build themselves up rather than tear themselves down. So I guess, you know, he's the wild card for them. But I love that team. And if he's feeling confident playing well, I would not be surprised to see them go all the way to the Cup Finals.
Thoughts on Colorado and their goaltending, whether that's enough?
Well, is it going to be, which goaltender is it going to be? Is it going to be Grubauer or Varlamov? And both of those guys haven't had the greatest playoffs in the past. So, to me, their goaltender is a huge question mark. I know that 2 years ago when Grubauer started for the Capitals, it seemed like Columbus was looking at a soccer net when he was in there. You know, he kind of shrunk. He was staying inside the crease a little too close to the goal line. And when Hopi came back in those playoffs, he looked like he was 7 feet tall and about 400 pounds. There was nothing to shoot at. So the biggest thing there is going to be the question mark in defense and, you know, what they allow for those goaltenders to shoot. So I would think goaltending is the weak spot of the Avalanche right now, just in the guys that they have not being confident and, you know, they haven't really had playoff success.
All right, a potential of 13 hours of hockey tomorrow. How much of it are you watching?
Every game. Every minute of every game. you know what? I shut my news off the television over 4 weeks ago. I quit watching cable news. It was driving me crazy. I wanted to hurt people. Got rid of every political sports analyst on my Twitter account. And I just want to watch hockey. I don't want politics. I don't want any of this garbage in there. I'll read about the pandemic when I feel like it. But right now, I just want to focus on hockey and enjoy what I love most, and that's the National Hockey League.
And from that, from life, you're in Houston, right?
In Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, what is? Because from our news, the sky is falling in Texas. What is everyday life like for you?
It's absolutely beautiful. The skies are blue. The sun is bright yellow. The people in my neighborhood are happy as can be. People are with respect, and you know, it's once again, you read the news and then you go out and the reality is different. So it's been great there. Houston's a different story. What happened? They did have a big get together about a month ago, and they're paying the price for it now. But you know, you've been able to test in Texas the entire time. You know, you can pay for it or you can go wait in line for free, and it's been available. And there's people do have it, but the people I know that have had it haven't been sick. But Texas has been awesome, D.C. not so much. And right now, I'm in D.C. for work, but I'll be back in Texas as fast as I can.
All right, good stuff. Really appreciate the insight, as always. You, like many people, are going wall-to-wall with the hockey starting tomorrow. Really appreciate the insight, and we'll have another visit down the road. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy tomorrow.